It took me a little by surprise to notice that the second reading from the Acts of the Apostles is actually also the Easter Sunday reading. That reading tells that God shows no partiality to any one people, but God draws all nations and all peoples to him, to her, to them, whichever pronoun suits you. In that reading, Peter is preaching a sermon after the resurrection to show that God is universal, God is for everyone, God is creator of all, and God is drawing all people and all creatures and all creation into relationship and partnership. God did this, as Peter goes on, in the particular person of Jesus in a particular time, in his actions among particular people. But Peter is actually telescoping outward to the big picture of what God is doing as the wonders of the universe. It's the same message from last Sunday when the Magi come to the child Jesus, because they are from all nations and have recognized that God is doing a thing that says God is for everyone. And so you'll remember from the story of the wise men, from the hymns that go with it, that there are symbols that go with that designation. There's the gold for kingship, there's the frankincense representing prayers to God, there's the myrrh for embalming of a sacrificial death. And last Sunday in Epiphany, we could get caught up in those details. But let's notice that the big picture is that these mystics who came to the baby Jesus represent a wider world that is drawn to the Creator. In the Easter reading, and as it is today, those blundering, fearful disciples become fearless speakers for the universal Creator. They demonstrate the particular human example in a particular time and place. And Peter's sermon is about drawing us all into relationship with the Creator. A relationship that is about love and transcends death. The baptism of Jesus then is like a bridge between these two stories of the Creator calling all nations. It's a bridge story about the universal Creator, and it is also an initiation story, because an unknown person has a transformative experience and comes onto the public stage, comes into his own with something to say and something to do. He comes into his ministry. And it would be good to say what that word is, because we use it in all sorts of ways. Maybe you have in your head a definition. So I think my definition varies with whatever books I'm reading and what I'm thinking about. So here's my attempt at a definition of ministry today. It's what God does. And also what God does through and in collaboration with all the ones God calls to serve. If God calls us, it's ministry. Jesus' experience of being baptized is described in Matthew's Gospel. It's a vivid description of bright light, of a voice declaring he belongs to the Creator. This is my son. And then that story takes a curious turn that we don't see as the reading ends, but it's there. And we will be told that immediately God's Spirit drives Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. It looks like, from the story of Jesus, it looks like initiation leads to some kind of quest for a vision quest. Because if you really are called to serve, the temptations are about what are your limits? What are your principles? How much of it will be your ego? Will you rely on the Creator? Will you trust? That will become our story for the season of Lent, and it is a story of Jesus facing temptations that are his opportunity to know with clarity and to commit to who he will be and how he will do what he is called to do. And this whole process is shown to us for our benefit, because it is also for us. It's what we are to do as the Creator's partners too. We are initiated, and then we must face into who we are, what kind of people we're going to be. And that prepares us to serve. We are definitely intended to be God's partners when we are baptized. But I have a nagging question that has bothered me for some time. Are we God's partners beforehand? Before baptism? To me, it's a prickly question, because so many of the prayers in our liturgy use the words baptismal ministry. And we're in a period where there are many among us in our communities and in our church who have not been baptized. For someone who is not baptized, what do you think? Are they God's partner? I find that at this time I want to make an attempt at what I think about this. I think we are already God's partners right from our birth. Now, some choose not to live like they're God's partners. And living like you're not God's partner might be damaging to yourself or to others. But I think our desire to be good and to do good is already the path of partnership with the Creator. And then there will come a moment, maybe, when a person says something like, "I need to say I own this." Or maybe you have a transformation, something that happens to you that shines a light in a part of your brain, and you have to do some inner work, and then you want to mark that you have done that inner work, and you want to make known that you intend to live a life of service to the creation and humanity and the Creator. About baptism, though, some people choose to be baptized and to have their families baptized. There's 2,000 years of that pattern. And the intention was always, baptizing our babies was that we intend our whole family to live the journey in Christ. But we can now look back on the 20th century and see how much of that became religion as social conformity, where it meant that people often did this outward thing with no deep intention, with no transformation, even if they got to wear the nice white heritage dress. So we are now in a place where we are recovering what initiation can mean for us. We are tying it again to how, for Jesus, it was a recognition of who he was to become, of soul searching and testing, and then walking that path in courage and love. I think our task is that we are to reclaim that as our path too. Baptism is the central initiation we have in the church, but it's not the only initiation you have experienced. Maybe it was graduation, or the driving test, or citizenship, or the job offer. All of these function as initiation. And maybe you've had initiation experiences that you've never even told anyone about. Maybe they even had an element of ceremony to them. Maybe they led to personal testing that you went through to grow and understand your own values. And that brings us to, what is a commissioning for any new role? It's an opportunity to mark a beginning or explicitly to name a path you know you're on with your community, with your church. You can recognize that you are in a new place too. You can recognize that you have something that you feel called to do as service. And you can share it here. You can do this. Because this is the kind of church that has a history of doing new things. And we're going to do one more. This is the kind of community where we would be your witnesses and your supporters in how you serve. This is the kind of community where we create room, where we make space for each person to be on their path, where we commit to be open to be blessed by your path and to bless your path for you. So when Jesus and John chat about baptism before they do it, whether it's even necessary, notice what Jesus says. Let this be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, this is a good thing. Let's do it. And Jesus' words can be our good spirit that guides us so that all people can walk beside each other.